Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and we welcome you to this program on this day, the 8th of Safar 1443, corresponding to the date 16th August 2021, to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. You remember, you can send in your queries. Today's program is on Tasawwuf. The number you can send your queries to is 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, +27847863132. Alhamdulillah, we have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Hazrat Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Maulana Zaid Khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, as we mentioned, the topic is tasawwuf, interesting. And the first question is, why is tasawwuf called tasawwuf?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tasawwuf is taken from the word suf. Suf means hul. So you will see that in some part of the world, the Sufis, they wear the thick clothes, the woolen clothes, and therefore they used to call them Sufis, Tasawwuf and Ahlus, the Jama'ah of Mutasawwifin or Musawwifin and all like things like that. So that you will say Tasawwuf. Basic reason is it comes from the word hul, and that is referring to the type of clothing they were wearing.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, we always refer back to Quran and Sunnah. Is there any basis for tasawwuf in Quran and Sunnah?
Remember, the word tasawwuf is not mentioned in the noble Quran or in the Sunnah Mubarakah. It's like a person saying that is the word namaz mentioned in the noble Quran. No, the word salat is mentioned. It's like a person saying is the word roza mentioned in the noble Quran. No, it's not mentioned. Siyam, som is mentioned. So similarly, yeah, the word mentioned in the noble Quran is tazkiyah. Let's refer to few verses from the noble Quran and see. When we study the functions of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah 62, Suratul Jumu'ah, verse number 2, we see yatlu alayhim ayatihi, that he, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had to recite the noble Quran to them, teach them how to recite and pronounce the words properly, correctly, wa yuzakihim, and purify them. Now what is the meaning of tazkiyah? Yuzakihim, purify them internally and externally. Externally from kufr and from shirk, from blasphemy and from the shirk, and that is polytheism. And internally from the pride, from the kibr, from the jealousy, hasad, from the nifaq, the hypocrisy, from the hubbul mal, hubbeja, the love for wealth, the love for name and fame, hubbul dunya, the excessive love of this world. And all that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam did par excellence, and the sahaba became the beacons of light and the ambassadors of Islam, as enshrined in Surah 9, verse number 100, where Almighty Allah commands us that we should follow them. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. So it shows that tazkiyah is an integral part of Islam. And وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And you, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must teach them the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah. So all this is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 62, verse number 2. And there are many many other verses, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Indeed, that person is successful, تَزَكَّى, who purified himself. And now if you look at the text and the context and so forth, Almighty Allah is speaking, remember, about the Eid Salat as well. So we just came out, you must remember, from Ramadan. And now, indeed, that person is successful, مَنْ تَزَكَّى, who purified himself. Indeed, that person is successful, who paid his Sadaqatul Fitr, Zakatul Fitr. All these translations are made, and that is chapter 89, chapter number 87, and chapter 87, Suratul A'la, Surah Sabbih Isma Rabbikal A'la, chapter 87, and verse number 14 and 15, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَسْوَلَّى. And now when you're going to the Eidgah, the Musalla, the Masjid, you read Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, Faswalla, and you perform the Eidul Fitr Salat. So it shows that there also Almighty Allah uses the term. And thereafter we see in yet another surah, and that is chapter number 91, wherein Almighty Allah teaches us Surah Washamsi, that after taking so many oaths, Almighty Allah took an oath. One is on the sun, and then on the moon, and then the day, and then the night, then the skies, and then the land and the sand. One of you, Amasawaha, and then this person, our internal selves, our spirit, our soul, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, the person who purifies it, cleanses it from all these spiritual diseases. We have these diseases, there's no question about it. So we cleanse ourselves from that. Then that person is successful. Chapter 91, verse number 9. And if a person does not remove it, there can be serious consequences. The pride, the jealousy, the love of this world, the love for wealth, and so forth and so on. So therefore, we need to understand that tazkiyah is mentioned not only in Quran Sharif, various places in Quran Sharif. As for example, I gave you three now. And if you go see other places, you will find more. And in Ahadith Sharif, how many places is mentioned? You see an easy example I give you. You will see there are in the Hadith compilations Kitab al-Zuhud. So what is Kitab al-Zuhud? That is that we must not get drowned in the glitter and glamour of this world. We must realize that we are example is like that fish. You know, Hazrat Maulana Umar Palanpuri Rahimahullah, the Arabs used to call him Sahibu Samak, that he is the companion of the fish, because he used to give this example so beautifully. I heard it personally from him. He said the one fish like a tabliki, you know, we call the first fish tabliki, and the second fish, the one just free, you know, freelancer. So the tabliki fish told the second fish, you must watch out when that bait comes, don't swallow it. Then you swallow it, finish. Then you will find one man, he'll be 6 feet tall, and he will have 32 teeth. Then he will cut you up into pieces, and then they will roast you and burn you and cook you and dust and everything else. And then so that fish went here and there. He told the first fish, I went everywhere in the river, dam, ocean. There is nothing like that, man. You're telling me 6 feet tall and 32 teeth and all that. So he said, I reject it. So that is what happens to human beings today. Then when he takes that bait and swallows it, finish, the reality starts. So when death comes, then you see all the reality comes. But alas, then it's too late. So therefore, we have to address and redress these issues now immediately.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, why is the sawf so important and why is it so significant?
So you must remember, it's significant because Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, when you study the ahadith mubarakah, innama bu'istu mu'allima, I have been sent, you must remember, as a teacher. And you see another hadith, then you open Musnad Ahmad, you open Kanzul Ummal, you open Mishkat, all you will find, innama bu'ithu, indeed I have been sent, li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq, to perfect and complete the noble character. So it shows. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission, message was global, international, for all times, all places, all circumstances, and not just the superficial teaching, but the internal teaching. See, I give you today, whilst I was having breakfast, so I was hearing the news, it's my habit. So they had an article, one news item, or just before the news, they said, in our country, beloved South Africa, today, what is happening? They took a survey and statistics. They say that 23 people are committing suicide per day in South Africa. That's the average. And 230 are attempted suicide. So if you ask me, so what will our response be? Our response will be, is nothing shocking. Why is not shocking? Because they said in 1994, we got democracy. And then 96, you must remember, the constitution, they said, is the best constitution in the world. But all these man-made constitutions are only there for the physical body. And remember, the secularists have prepared it. They got nothing to do. They say that it is a secular country. Secular country means a godless society. So there's nothing addressing the ruh, the soul, the spirit of that person. So they will speak of human rights minus divine rights. So you have to subtract that according to them, Allah forbid. So that vacuum remains. So Islam came about with a great system. We will fulfill your human rights. We will fulfill your divine rights. We will fulfill your spiritual rights. Now you juxtapose and compare Islam with any man-made system and remove your jaundiced eye, and then you tell me which is a better system. That's one. When we go to Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa was a genius himself. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say, "An-nasu iyalun di Abi Hanifa ta fil fiqh." That the people are children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh. So when we went to Imam Abu Hanifa, his works, his fatawa, his students' works and so forth, and we asked, what is the definition of fiqh? We say today we are discussing fiqh. And it is Nusiba ila Abi Hanifa. It is when I used to teach this kitab in Darulum, Newcastle. So you must remember that Al-Fiqhul Akbar and so forth. So it is said that that is the only work Imam Abu Hanifa wrote and so forth. So when we asked him, what is the definition of fiqh? He said, ma'arifatu nafsi ma laha wa ma alayha. Every person must recognize what is his benefits and what are those things harmful for him. So that is the broad definition he, Imam Abu Hanifa, made. Ma'arifatu nafsi ma laha wa ma alayha. Now the question you ask, how important, significant is this tasawwuf, this tazkiyah? So remember, number one, al-fiqhul akbar. What is Fiqhul Akbar? Our foundation. And that is, you must remember that we must know what the articles of faith are. We must know what the belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. And then not only know it, that we accept it, and then we practice on it. We promote and preserve and protect the Aqidah, the creed of the Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. You have the Shias, you have the Qadianis, you have the Aga Khanis, you have so many other modernists and so forth. They all Dhal, Mudwil, and majority of them are Kuffar. So you must remember Qadian is a Kuffar, Shia is a Kuffar, Aga Khan is a Kuffar. So they're out of the fold of Islam, although they might have Muslim names. So that is the biggest fiqh, our belief structure. Then Al-Fiqhul Awsat. What is Fiqhul Awsat? The in-between one. That is this tasawwuf, this tazkiyah, that I have to cleanse myself myself and purely protect myself from kufr, from blasphemy, from shirk, polytheism, from nifaq, hypocrisy. So many millions, not thousands, millions Muslims today, they just pay lip service to Islam. In the heart there's nothing. You must remember that. They are the first ones that will tell you that the penal code of Islam today is barbaric, is not practical, and it will be removed and so forth. When people make statements like that, they're already out of the fold of Islam. So we need to understand this so that to prevent and protect ourselves and cleanse ourselves from everything internally as well, the pride, the jealousy, the love for name, fame, all these type of things. So that will be al-fiqhul awsat, the medium one, in between one. Then al-fiqhul asghar is where we are spending the most time in our madrasas, our darulums, and so forth and so on. And that is now kitabu tahara, about wudu, about ghusl, ablution, bathing, salat, zakat, som, hajj, tijarat, nikah, talaq, inheritance. So if you look at Imam Abu Hanifa and the jurors, they brought that in the lowest category, and that is al-fiqhul asghar, the smallest one. And above that, al-fiqhul awsat is the tasawwuf and the tazkiyah. And above that is the foundation, al-fiqhul akbar. So it shows that the whole structure and hierarchy is there for us. But alas, today they asked one alim, very great alim. They were here 50, 100 years ago, you must remember now. So when I was in Karachi now, it's already more than 40 years, 45 years. So you must remember, almost coming to 50 years, almost one can say. So the point I'm making now, so when they asked one alim, that how come there's such a big difference between the old ulama who graduated in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and those graduating now, like, you know, at the end of the century and so forth. And he said, farq ye hai, that when the ulama of that time used to finish, now they did the alim course, Bukhari, all that they finished. So they finished their Bukhari. Then 1 year, they used to search kisi ahle wale ahlullah ki suhbat mein bejat. You know, today you do lawyer, become an advocate, you always law. Then you go and serve articles. Then you ask a doctor, he must go and serve internship. So they used to go 1 year and sit by these pious people. Suhbat sali, sali kunan, suhbat tali, tali kunan. I don't know Farsi, just few one, two words we know properly. So remember, you sit by the pious people, the piety rubs off. You sit by the gangsters and the people who got no shame and morality. Then the vices will rub off. Common sense, it's summer now, we're entering summer. We sit by the fan, by the aircon, so the coolness will come. In winter, we sit by the fireplace or the heater, the warmth will come. So similarly like that. So that, ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. You want true taqwa, then be with the Sadiqeen, and that are the people who are the Salihin, the people who got taqwa. Today the Alim, we got big certificates, but that's not the Alim by Allah. The Alim by Allah, innama fahasar and qasar, only exclusively those people are ulama. Yakshallaha min ibadihi al-ulama, from his servants they got the quality of khashya, in jalwa and khalwa, in privacy and public, they have that love and fear for Almighty Allah simultaneously. So that is what the whole journey of the tasawwuf is all about. And you must remember that today, so when we just graduate, we just run away. So we never spend time with them. So one is the maktab, your primary madrasa. One is the darulum, like a jamia, that is your higher education. And one is the khanka, to go sit by the Allah, by the awliyaullah. And then we learn, how you think Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi became such a giant? How Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi became such a giant? How you think Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib became such a giant? So if you look at each one of them, remember, they sat at the feet of the Grand Master. The Grand Master, Piran-e Pir, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahimahullah. Millions and millions of people till today are benefiting. So you must remember they had to sit at his feet, and then you must remember the imbibe, not just the zahiri knowledge, the superficial knowledge, but the batini, the internal knowledge as well.
Mufti Sahib, a student of Deen wants to know that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back from jihad, he said, "Jihad, we come back from jihad asghar towards jihad akbar." Is this proven in the hadith?
Remember, it is a hadith, "Raja'na min al-jihad al-asghari ila al-jihad al-akbar." That, but there's kalam on that hadith. It's not 100% sahih hadith. It is a hadith fihi inqita'. So you must remember the chain and all that is interrupted. So there is kalam on it and so forth. If you go see what the muhaddisin have written, so you will find it there. Anyway, that the meaning of it, sometimes the hadith, there's kalam, but the meaning of it, we say the ma'na of the hadith, that is acceptable. We have to fight and suppress our desires all the time. And remember, jihad asghar will be fighting the enemy. That will be 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever. And then the jihad akbar is fighting our own soul, our own nafs, and so forth. So we can't say it's sahih hadith as far as the word goes, but we will say ma'anan is acceptable and is correct.
Mufti Sahib, why is it that some Arab ulama are against tasawwuf?
You must remember that tasawwuf today ala qismain, or ala thalathati aqsam. So you must remember you get two, three different types of tasawwuf. I give you the countries I visited. There is no time, but what I saw with my own eyes. So when I was in Damascus, so I went to one place, it was a Friday, and then we were there in the Umayyad Masjid. So the people could see, you understand, this guy is a foreigner, and you know, he speaks Arabic, understand, whatever. So they told me, "Where are you going today?" I said, "But what you want I must do? They said, "Okay, I'm writing down an address for you. This time, you must remember the Asr Salat, and one big waliullah, big sheikh is coming, and you must be there. Then you will meet one of the great awliyaullah." You understand? I said, "Fine." So I went there. So then the sheikh came, everybody stood up. First thing I found amazing, the sheikh walking around with all notes of money and giving all his murids, you know, all the disciples and students. Then they gave out milk, and then they gave out one kitab. I must be having it here somewhere, I just have to look for it. And then they started the zikr. The way they started the zikr, everybody jumping in the masjid, everybody dancing in the masjid, and they're going round and round. So I just walked away. I said, "If these are awliyaullah, then I don't know who's the awliyaul shaitan." So see, in the name of the tasawwuf, what people have done, they have introduced music. In the name of the tasawwuf, they have introduced dancing. In the name of music, they have introduced that men and women can mingle, associate with one another. The other day we had a question Monday night on Q&A. So then the person said his wife is pregnant, and the husband told the wife, "You must go to my sheikh, and because you're expecting twins or whatever, so my sheikh will put his hand on your stomach and all this." So I said, "What sheikh is that?" Any man who says he's a sheikh, or any person for that matter, and he's going to touch the woman, and there's no hijab, he's not a sheikh, he's shaitan. Therefore, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote the book Al-Furqan, Baina Awliya'i Rahman wa Awliya'i Shaitan. So the criteria and the distinction, who are the awliya'ullah and who are the awliya of shaitan. So you get books for Fadahidu Sufiya. So you see people, so don't read salat, just make zikr, shake your head and make Allahu, Allahu, and don't worry of salat, don't do it. So obviously this type of tasawwuf is kufr. When people tell you don't read salat, people tell you bring the music in, bring the dancing in, bring the, you understand, woman in. So what is all this? And then they'll give them a taweez. So the taweez sometime will be Amali Taweez. Amali Taweez is what he'll say, "Your wife got the jinn." And then she will tell the woman that now you must come alone in the room with me. And now from there, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. What's going to happen after that? So what is this? So in the name of Islam, in the name of the tasawwuf, remember the shaitan has got hold of them, and then they become Hizbu Shaitan. So we saw this. So I give another example. When I went to Iran, when I went to Iraq, when I went there, the masjid is empty, empty, empty. And next to it are the mazars. Pious people, great people, love people. I saw myself in Iraq, one Chathad African. He's not reading towards the Qibla Salat. He's reading Salat directly to Pirane Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. His back is facing. And he made proper Salat. I saw with my own eyes. So you must remember this. So what you call that? So Hazrat Pirane Pir is a great person, one of the greatest awliya, and so forth. So you must, but look at now the people, what they are doing. So that is our objection. You must remember this type of thing. So the tasawwuf that we promote is the tasawwuf and tazkiyah according to Quran Sharif, according to the Sunnah Mubarakah, according to the Sahaba radiallahu anh. Not all this there that you have a big rock and roll and you have dancing and you have all. Since when this is part of Islam and so forth? So to say that the Arab ulama or some ulama in this day and this age, they're against the tasawwuf and so, I reject that. I give you evidence. You must remember that, you know, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he was the greatest celebrated student of, you must remember, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. In day he wrote Madarijus Salikin, one of his works which I have myself. So Madarijus Salikin, so go open it and see. So you must remember that. So that is what you need to understand, number one. Number two, if you open Ibn Taymiyyah's works, I have so many of his works with Allah's help, and remember that he himself was a Sufi. And where is he buried? Where is Ibn Taymiyyah buried? Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Kathir are buried, remember, in Dimashq, in Damascus, in the Maqbara graveyard called Maqabiru Sufiyyah. So what bigger evidence you want? And he wrote a book which I have, Fiqhut Tasawwuf, how to understand Tasawwuf and so forth. Third one, this person I met myself, Sheikh Abdul Halim Mahmood. He was from the Sheikhul Azhar. He had such a big beard, bigger than my beard. And he used to have tasbih in his hand all the time. Arabic is his mother tongue, is Egyptian. He was a master in France, French language as well. So remember that. So he wrote book, you must remember, on Sufyan Thawri, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, and he wrote book on Tasawwuf and all that. I just give you one sentence. For us students, people say ulama. What things he said? He addressed what he said. He reported and said what Sufyan Thawri said. Ya milh al umma, ida fasad al milhu fasad al ta'af. Oh students, oh ulama, you are the salt of this ummah. If you get corrupted, if you get rotten, then if the salt gets rotten, the food will not taste anything. It will be terrible. So when we supposed to be the people who say ulama, who say students of deen, if we become corrupted, we get rotten and so forth, the whole ummah will become rotten. So remember this type of things. So such great, great books are written, but people today just make story, you know, that remember the Arab ulama. No, those ulama who are against the tasawwuf, they're against the tasawwuf of the jahil tasawwuf, where you got music, where you got dancing, where you got men and women, where you got even taha and all that. You say, mujhe to hal ho gaya hai. You start jumping and all that. So the one chap, you must remember that the qawwali was playing, you know. So he started, he say, mujhe to hal ho gaya. In Arabic they call it wajd, you understand? So he said, mujhe to hal ho gaya. So the one person want to whisper in his ear and told him, bhai, sit down, bed jao, tumhare pajama piche phata hua hai, your trouser you got on got a big hole at the back. So quietly then he sat down. When people were telling him to sit down, he said no. So these are actors, you must remember that. They put on a show, and mujhe hal ho gaya, I mean wajd, I mean the ecstasy and the love of Allah. But all actors disturb. So when I went to Iraq and all that, I saw myself. That you must remember, we visited this Waliullah, that Awliyaullah, that Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Hazrat Ma'ruf Karkhi, Hazrat Pirani Pir, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, and so forth. So many, alhamdulillah. So you see people with big, big drums and all that, and they knocking the drum. Salat time, not one of them came to read Salat. Mm. I saw my own eyes. And this type of, so what the sohuf you call that now? So you must remember that people have disgraced the true the sohuf which Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah teaches us.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. Mufti Saab, is it necessary to have a sheikh?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I give you my story first, right? And then my family story and so forth. So obviously I was not there. So a sheikh came, a Hazrat came. This is proper Waliullah, not some fairy tale business. Hazrat Maulana Zubair Ali Nawwarallahu Marqadahu from Tonk, from India. First Hazrat's father came, and then he went back and he told the people, I'll send my son. Then in around the 40s or so, early 40s, so you must remember, he came to Stenerton. Now lo and behold, in Stenerton, my beloved mother, my, you understand, my Mama G, and my mother's brother, and all of them were there. None of them were really married and all that. And in Stenerton, where the town masjid is around there, and Hazrat Maulana was the imam there and so forth. And in 42 to 44, my Mama G, Hafiz Umar, so from Van Dijksdrift, then they moved to Middelburg. He passed away. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He became the first Hafiz, you see. Now Hazrat came alone. Wife and them were all overseas. So my nani ma, my maternal grandmother, used to make a lot of khidmats and food, all that, all. So therefore, we call Hazrat Mama Ji. So he started making special dua for our family and so forth, so on. So till today, I mean this last Saturday I went, you must remember, I stopped in Leslie to go to Mamaji's Mubarak grave, Mami's grave, all that, you know. So Moa Qasim Ali Marhum, his mother. So you must remember, we can't forget their ihsan and favor upon us. So you must connect yourself to some awliyaullah and so forth. So the answer is this. Is it compulsory to have a sheikh? No, it's not compulsory to have a sheikh. But it is compulsory to become pious. It's compulsory that we become true Muslims. And the next one is the aim of a sheikh and so forth is what? That they make islah. That if that sheikh is a sheikh kamil, a complete sheikh, he will know that this person got so much pride, he got so much jealousy, so much love for dunya, so much this, then he will tell you, do this, do that, do all these type of things. So you must remember, that is how we become better human beings, better Muslims. So that is the answer. Now, thereafter, then we went, mashallah, we studied, then we became murid like, oh, you must remember, Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Mohana Masihullah Khan Sahib, and so forth. So the journey carries on. And now you must remember, we were with Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib last night again, and last night we had a good session, Hazrat and myself. So, you know, the real academic and discussions and so forth. So this is, you know, these are things that I can cry, you know. Then I think how much time Hazrat gives me, and we alone, and we can ask and all this, you know. So these are moments we will always relish and cherish. Then Hazrat Mohana Qamru Zaman Sahib came, and we little bit taluk and so forth and all. So like that, Haji Farooq Sahib came. So like that, this is a journey. Therefore, you call it the suluk, suluka rasta. You keep on walking on this path and so forth and so on. The love for Allah must permeate our heart. The love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam must enter our hearts. The love for Islam must enter, and Shariat Tabiat Banjai. How we have breakfast, how we have lunch, how we have supper. So like that, we must learn to practice on the Sharia. Shariat must not become a bogh, a burden. So simple terms, if somebody asks you, what is the sawuf? So you will say, At-tahalli bil-fadail. Everything good, you beautify yourself with it. Al-aqwal, your speech. Al-a'mal, your actions. and your akhlaq. Now our mistake is, in front of the people, we have very good, you know. So that is not the akhlaq. Akhlaq is, it must be part of your nature. When we alone, when we in public, when we on holiday, in hadar, it must be our nature. So that is the akhlaq. There's a mistake we're making today. We just show people. But when we alone with somebody else, we are sanctimonious. We have a double identity. That is not the aim of Islam. Aim of Islam, everywhere it must be that. So that is the definition of ikhlas also. Khalwat mein, jalwat mein, a'amal ka barabar hona. That in our actions must remain the same, whether in private or public. So not you play to the crowd and so forth, and grandstanding, what we call. So remember, so these are basic rules. And at-takhalli bir-raza'il, and all these evil qualities, our pride, our jealousy, our love for world, our love for money, our love for name and fame, all these things, you get rid of it. So that is what we need to understand, and that's what we are failing today. Let us be honest about that. I mean, one person now, Hazrat Muhyiddin Chushtishti rahimahullah, 9 million people embrace Islam. On him, we can't even make 9 people Muslim. So why? Because Allah Ta'ala gave them such akhlaq, such countries became Muslim. Go read. Hazrat Abul Hasan Nadwi, what a sheikh he was. See, Allah gave him death on a Friday. Allah gave him death during Ramadan, whilst he was fasting, whilst reading Surah Yasin. And the last ayat he read, for Bashirhu bi maghfiratu wa ajrin kareem. For you is forgiveness, and for you is a magnificent reward. And I was in Mecca myself. He passed away in India in 1999, 27 night. His janaza salat was read there in abstention in Mecca and Medina Munawwara, Mecca Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara. So this is Qabuliyat. But how it happened? The awards he used to win, Saudi Arabia gave him, United Arab Emirates gave him, Brunei gave him, millions. He take everything away. He never used 1 cent. If it's me and you, what we'll say? All love, all bring more. So bring more. That is human being today. Remember this kind of things. So we must think properly. You must remember. What great giants we saw. Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah. Hazrat Mufti Shafi sahab rahimahullah. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood of Pakistan. Hazrat rahimahullah. He's our teacher also. So he taught us Bukhari Sharif, the last hadith, and he gave us permission. And after that he passed away. We was like his last students. And remember that Hazrat Mufti Mahmood sahab, who's buried here in South Africa, and all our asatiz, Hazrat Salimullah Khan sahab, everyone was sahib and nisbat. Sahib and nisbat means they were connected to some great, great sheikhs. So that is what we need to learn.
Mufti sahab, Khatme Khwajgan, is this authentic or not?
You must remember that this is an excellent question, Maulana, which you posed. So you see, Hazrat Mohana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarullah Marqadahu. As far as hadith go, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri rahimahullah wrote, and I have both copies. Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarullah Marqadahu wrote a book, Hajjatul Wida wa Umratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in matter of 2-3 days. When I was in Chipata, there by Hazrat Mohan Abdul Rahim Mutala sahab, he told, because he was like a favorite student of Hazrat Sheikh, he and his brother Mohan Yusuf Mutala, both passed away. Allah give them Jannatul Firdaus. Hazrat Sheikh passed away, obviously, first Shaban 1982. So what we see there is this, that he told me, Hazrat Sheikh ne is kitab ko 2-3 din mein tasneef farmaya. For us, it will take us 2-3 years and still we won't be finished. All the tahqeeq and research. Then it was translated by Mohana Yusuf Ludhianwi, rahimahullah. And the muqaddama, the taqreez and that was written by Hazrat bin Nuri, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri, rahimahullah. In there he wrote, Hazrat bin Nuri wrote, is door ke sabse bare muhaddis, the greatest scholar on hadith. So that is Hazrat Sheikh one side, that you see the khidmat he made of Bukhari Sharif, Abu Dawood, Mu'tah Malik, and all the hadith kitabs and his fazail works in it, how Allah accepted it. But then on the other side, what a Sufi he was. Subhanallah. So you must remember these kind of things here. So they all were awliyaullah and Sufis and so forth and so on. So they went there. Ramadan time 1977, we went to spend Ramadan in Jalalabad by Hazrat Hazrat Ji. Then one day we said, Hazrat Ji, we want to go to meet Hazrat Sheikh Rahimahullah. So when you go there, they have this Khatme Khwaja Gan, they have. So the thing we must learn here is this. We will say Jais, but we will not say Sunnah. So that is a distinction you must make. The problem today with some sheikhs, the way they impose it and emphasize it, sometimes they give it more emphasis than the original Sunnah. That is wrong. We must remember that. So to read Khatme Khwajagan, very good, permissible. But remember, you can't elevate its rank to Sunnah or compulsory. Once you do that, then it becomes a bidah and not permissible. So that is the fariq, that is the difference we must know. That all these amal salihin, the buzruks, the pious people, they said, do three easy example I give you. That when we were becoming a hafiz, and I'm speaking of 68, 69 and that. So our ustad, Hafiz Imaliyah, Hafizahullah, would tell us that put your hand on the forehead and read Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawiyu. Your memory will be strong. We masum children, so we should do that. Until now, sometimes I do it. And then put your, blow your thumb and then on your thumb and read Ya Nuru and then, so. All this you call amal of awliyaullah. So what we will say, pious people's actions is not going against the sharia, so jais, permissible. But when you start elevating its rank and say it's sunnah or compulsory, then 100% it becomes bid'ah and not permissible. So that is why we must be careful of all these things here.
Mufti Sahib, what about dhikr jahri? Loud dhikr, is this permissible?
You must remember, in South Africa, if you see the amount of books written both ways, you must remember this. Those ulama who say jais, those who say not jais, this, that. The khulasa, the summary of it is this. A masterpiece work, if you want, on this, is written by Allama Abdul Hay Lakhnavi. You must remember that. What a giant. He never even reached 40 years and he passed away. And the Arab ulama, like Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, and then we call him Imam Abdul Hay al-Lakhnavi. So I must remember that. So they were the real, real giants, you know. So people say that you all got this. You see, we are just, you know, a person. He does all the effort. Yet he dug up the soil and he planted the seeds and dust and all that. So now you find all the kaleidoscope of colors. You find all the fruits and all that. So what we come and do, we just clip the fruit and that and give it to the people. So, pakki pakai roti, you know. Yesterday I told Hazrat also, I said, Hazrat, you have to pakki pakai roti. He started laughing, smiling, like, you know. So, everything is done for us. We just have to take and deliver. That's all, basically. So, there's no sacrifice, nothing really. So these are the books. Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahimahullah, who passed away in Shawwal 1976. Go study his fatwa and you will find that's the best fatwa on this topic. So zikr-e-jahri itself, whether you do in the khanka, whether you do in a khanka means the place, mashallah, where the Sufis sit and so forth, and then they try and reform themselves, so no problem. Or in your house, or you sit in a masjid and do it. In Abu Dawood, there's a hadith of a sahabi, you must remember, you should make zikr e jahri in the masjid. So you must remember that open. And in Kitabul Janais, and Noor used to come out from his grave and from his body and all that. So Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib has mentioned this in his kitab on the zikr-e-jahri and what have you. So the point I want to make is this. So it is jais. But is it jais carte blanche? There are no conditions? No. There are conditions. So now if you go to today's khanka here in South Africa, I know myself. So say between Asr, Maghrib, the Sheikh is sitting there, the Murids are sitting there. Now you come in 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes before Maghrib. You say you want to make some zikr, you want to make some tilawat of Quran, you want to make some dua, you can't do it. Because why? He's got his 10, 20, 50, 100 murids, and all of them are making zikr-e-jahri. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la, like that. Now you are making zikr-e-jahri, but in the masjid, and you are a mukhil. You are causing disturbance to the people who want to read Quran. to the people who want to make zikr, to the people who want to make dua, and that is not permissible. Kainan man kan, whoever the sheikh is, remember, we need to be clear on this issue here. So you can't. The biggest thing in tasawwuf is kisi ko taklif mat ponchana. Don't cause taklif to anybody. So to animals you mustn't cause harm. To non-Muslims you can't cause harm unnecessarily. To the creation of Allah you can't cause harm. But you're causing harm to people right in the masjid. Now how do you justify that? So yes, you alone. So you must remember, we go Sunday majlis. You know about it, Mawazahid. They have a Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib. There's nobody in the masjid that time. There 9 o'clock, up past 9. That's the time. So after we speak all that, Hazrat Mufti Tisav speaks, he makes dua. Before the dua, they zikr jahri. But there's nobody, so it's permissible. So you must remember that. But you can't say it's permissible unconditionally. You must make these conditions. The fuqaha jurists wrote to such an extent, if there's a person, say for example, in etikaf, right, and he's sleeping. Now you want to make zikr a jahri, loud zikr, so you're going to cause him harm. That also is not permissible. So if it's not permissible for a person who's sleeping, so how much harm you are causing to the person, remember, who is there making tilawat of Quran. And so, and how many times I send message to them that this what you are doing is 100% bid'ah. You must remember that is not permissible in Islam. But the problem is people will say, no, our sheikh taught us. Fine, your sheikh taught you, but go see the fatwa of all the ulama on this, that once it is causing, we're speaking of a masjid now, it's causing disturbance, so then it is not permissible to others, remember. So that is, and you make zikr e sirri, you make zikr e khafi, and all that soft, then it's better, because why? If, when you are in a crowd and there are other people, there's more ikhlas, there's more sincerity and so forth and so on. You see, the example of zikr-e-jahri is, I don't know, Molana, which madrasa you went and so forth when you were a youngster, you understand? I'm speaking of my time now, 55 years ago, 60 years ago. So when we used to go madrasa, all our madrasas in Transvaal, or say 90%, you know, maybe a little bit more, you can exclude, but 80%, 90%, 95% were under Mias Farm, right? So Miasfam Maulanas used to come, and that day we used to get very frightened, and the teachers also used to be, you understand, up to date everything. So now the Maulana, the Hafiz Sahab, the Imam Sahab, because not everybody was qualified, so they used to teach us, you understand, the Paro, read. So we read Watini was Zaytun. So we all read together Watini was Zaytun. Rote method we call, you know, Hifz method, memorize. So you're not looking in the kitab, the teacher is reading. So that is the sheikh is doing. He's teaching you how to make zikr. So that is why you have zikr e jahri. So in that way there, when the sheikh is not there, then you continue making the zikr as well. So that is the real purpose of it and so forth. Like how we learn surahs in the madrasas and so forth initially and so forth. So that is how that should work. Not that you continue doing it when the people remember are there. Then some places they do it at night, and then they off the lights and thus and that. If you offing the lights, people can concentrate, is fine. But if you think that offing the lights is a sunnah, and then it's again bid'ah. So all these kind of things, the sheikh himself must educate the people, because tomorrow when the sheikh is gone and you tell this murid that you don't do these things, they will be prepared to fight with you, because you must remember that. Because they are so accustomed to it and so forth. So I saw so many times when we give fatwa, the people don't like it, because they say that, no, but our sheikh. So fine, the aim in Islam is not to follow the sheikh totally blindly. You must follow the sheikh as long as you must remember is within the parameters of the sharia and so forth. So that That is what we must learn.
Can Mufti Sahib please suggest to all our listeners some dhikrs to make, adhkar to make daily?
Dhikr to make is in the Quran Sharif itself. The best dhikr is tilawatul Quran. The best dhikr is, you must remember, afdalu dhikri la ilaha illallah. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the best dhikr is la ilaha illallah. The best is Durood Sharif. Today is Thursday. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Tomorrow is Friday. So akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah. Abundant Durood Sharif. Abundant, you must remember, salawat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Istighfar. We all are sinners. So we beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. Istighfar for the past. Tawbah for the future. And remember that I'll advise every person, whether you are doing tabligh work or not, whether you are a student in a madrasa, Darul Uloom, whether you are doing some other work, connect yourself to some pious people. Remember that. Another issue, while I got this 1-2 minutes, it's very good, Allah just put in my head. You ladies, you must be very careful. You must remember that. Today, some sheikhs, they're not interested in the murid, the man. They're interested in the murida. That. Why? He's looking you out, checking you out. That you must write to me and thus and that. Then he'll convince you, you become his second wife and third wife. That type of sheikh, you must run far, far away from him. His intention is already tainted and polluted. And if the sheikh say, no, you must come to me, and there's no parda, hijab, all that, he's not sheikh, but he's shaitan. So you must be there. And you see the woman kissing the sheikh's hand. You see the woman bowing down to the... I see all these kind of things happening in my travels. So all this are absolutely haram and not permissible in Islam. And last point I want to tell you, which books must you read? So, because in Arabic, Madariju Salikin, and Fiqh Tasawwuf, and so many books there are. All the Kitabu Zuhud in the Hadith Kitab, Kitabu Riqa, Kitabu Zuhud, you can read. Then in Urdu, Hazaji, Hazrat Mohana Masihullah Khan Sahib's works. So, remember, very good Shariat with Tasawwuf and all these works. So, Hazrat Abul Hasan Nadwi's works, you must remember. So many things you will find about Tasawwuf and so forth. In English, if you want, what I found, the best you must remember is Majlisul Ulama. There he don't write like how he write the fatwas and that, you know. There he write, you must remember that how we can become better Muslims. Go read his work, the translation of Hazaji Muhammad Masihullah Khan Sahib's work, and Shariat with Tasawwuf is in English. Go read that. And then go read the other one, Orchards of Love. Go read the Mashaykh Chisht. Go see all those works, all in English. And then you will see who are the real awliyaullah. Allah Jalla wa'ala give us tawfiq to understand and practice and propagate. Okay, next up will be the news headlines with Brother Yusuf Ali, 12 o'clock inshallah. And thereafter there will be a talk by Mufti Hashim Bauda, and that is the meeting between Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Shuaib alayhi salam, inshallah al-aziz, from 5 past 12 to 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30, the report back, the repeat of Monday, my trip to Bethal, and 1:30 to 2 Surah Yunus, verses 94 to 98, 2 to 3 Madrasa on air by Mona Zaid Khan, 3 to 3:30 the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Mona Arafat, 3:30 to 4 very good topic Hazrat Mona Ibrahim Devla Sahab. So Hamara Ta'alluq Allah Ta'ala Ke Saat, our connection with all Almighty Allah, and that is the Sohuf, to connect ourselves not with the cell phones, to connect ourselves to all Almighty Allah Jalla wala. And 4 to 5 Ulumul Quran with Mufti Yusuf Mangera, and then 5 to 7 Moana Khalid Yaqub inshallah al-Aziz, and then 7 to 7:30 the repeat of last week's khutbah, the translation, and then 7:30 to 8 Moana Yunus Patel Rahimahullah's advices, 8 to 10 Moana Arafat Atia and Moana Salim Karim inshallah in the discussion, and 10 to 11 will be Moana Ridwan Kaji. Barakallahu fiqh. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners. We join Yusuf Ali now with the news. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.